I want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, a verse which is so complete with the very character of God. And so this will be our devotion this evening. There are at least three songs of Moses. This is one of them. One was sung in Exodus 15. It's recorded after the crossing of the Red Sea. One is recorded in Psalm 90. And the other one here is in Deuteronomy 32, a song of Moses. A major theme of this song is in verse 4. It's mentioned. We just read through part of it. He is the rock. God called, capital R, notice in our authorized version, very helpfully, this is a name given to the Lord God. It's mentioned down in verse 15 as well that he forsook God, and that this man, Jeshurun, he forsook the rock of his salvation. And then it's mentioned, we didn't read it, but down in verse 30 and 31, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up, for their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges, and so on. So one of the names given to the Lord our God. Nowhere in the Old Testament is this name rock given to anybody other than the Lord our God. Now I'm sure that some of you will be thinking of that verse in Matthew 16, 18 in the New Testament, where Christ says to Peter, "Thou art Peter," Petros, the word rock, "and upon this rock," the word is stone, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, if ever we doubt what the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to, every Jewish ear would have understood from the whole of the Old Testament that when the word rock is given as a name, it's a reference to the coming Christ and to the Lord himself. He is the rock. The reference is to the cornerstone. Christ, the cornerstone. If you just look back, don't want to detain us, but Exodus chapter 17 and verse 6, there is an old-fashioned rule of interpretation that you look very carefully at the first use of a term in the Bible. And I believe Exodus 17 verse 6, this is the first reference to the rock. Well-known verse, you'll be familiar with the context. "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock." Who's the rock? Speaking of Christ. How do we know that? "And there shall come water out of it." Do you remember the one that spoke of the living waters that would gush up? The one that gives the living water, "that they may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Well, the rock is a reference to Christ. Let me show you something else remarkable. If you turn to the book of Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 1. And we'll see here three names. And you might wonder what these names have got to do with our subject this evening, which is God, the righteous God, the God whose ways are righteous. Look in Numbers chapter 1 and verse 5. These are the names of the men that shall stand with you of the tribe of Reuben. Eliezer, his name means "my God is a rock." Look in verse 6 of Simeon. Shelemiel, the son of Zurishaddai. Shaddai is one of the names of God, and his whole name means "the Almighty is my rock." And then down in verse 10, we find the final name, Pedahzur, which means redeemed by the rock. These are all references to the name of God. And ever since that time, when God is revealed in Exodus 17 as the rock, the one that would be smitten, struck, a reference to Christ, who would be struck, and out of him would come the living waters, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and his atonement. So if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4, that's just an introduction. He is the rock. Who is this? It's Christ. It's the Lord. He is the rock, speaking of durability, reliability, the one that doesn't change. So this is his very nature. Our God, the one that we worship, that we will pray to this evening, he is the rock. I think this is the most complete verse in the whole Bible that describes one of the aspects of our God, his righteousness, his rightness, his righteous ways. He is the rock, and then we have seven different descriptions of what he is. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, or we might say just, another word for righteous. A God of truth, another translation of that could be faithfulness, without iniquity, that's speaking again of his righteousness, just and right is he. What a powerful description of the God that we can pray to. How encouraging and comforting to us to know that God is in his very essence righteous, and because of that everything he does is right, and his whole plan and purpose is right. So let's just look at these terms. He is righteous. Righteous. The very essence of our God. Can I use this term reverently? He cannot help but being righteous. It's impossible for God to be anything other than righteous. Theologically, there is a term, see if we can understand that, a unique truth about our God, that all of his characteristics are true at the same time. I don't know about you, but probably like me, sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're sad. But God is everything at the same time. That's boggling for our minds. He has to be righteous all the time. At the same time, that doesn't compromise or conflict or contradict with any other aspect of God's character. He is righteous. He is the rock. The rock doesn't change. The rock is permanent and the same. No conflict in God. So there's another term at the end. It says, just and right is he. You can also translate that as upright. We have righteousness, if we have any of our own, which is horizontal. We think of ourselves in terms of being better than someone else. We shouldn't do that, but it's what human nature does. But with God, he is upright. He doesn't need to be compared to anybody else because he is righteous. With respect to himself, he is righteous and he is upright. Look at verse 6. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? You see, we are the people who are being made righteous. We are the people who are being established, built, created righteous. We've been clothed with his righteousness, and he is establishing us to be righteous. Verse 7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. He goes on, down in verse 9, here's the precious verse, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. We read earlier, God is dividing a people into two, those who are declared righteous and those who are the wicked. And so God is righteous and he is upright. But we can say as well that he's righteous in terms of salvation. He's taking a sinner and he's making us righteous, not we ourselves. Famous verse in Genesis 18:25, it says, speaking of Abraham when he was pleading for Sodom, be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, don't treat them the same, and that the righteous shall be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God would divide his people righteously. Those have been cleansed and washed and declared righteous. And those who, it tells us here, are the wicked. They have no righteousness of their own. And they've not got a given righteousness. And so the Lord will divide. He'll separate, just as he did at Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was but a handful of souls that were declared and taken out to be righteous. But we can see here in this verse in Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, all his ways are judgment, a God of truth without iniquity. The word iniquity, there are so many words in this verse, they overlap. The translators had a great problem because some of the meaning is quite similar. When it says without iniquity, it means with no injustice. When we pray to our God, he cannot answer in an unjust, unfair, inequitable way. And so it says a God of truth, faithfulness, and without injustice, iniquity. You're getting the picture. This is our God. He is righteous. His ways are righteous. And his plans and purposes are righteous. One flows out of the other. Shall not the God of all the earth, the judge of all the earth, do right because he is right? Well, these are delightful words for us to think about tonight. I just read the verse again. He, our God, is the rock. He doesn't change. He's utterly unchanging in his character, and therefore it flows from him that what he does, his work, is perfect. Everything that God does is spotless, perfect, no blemish, no injustice. For all his works are just, that's what the word judgment means, a God of truth, true to his character, and without injustice, just and right is he. What a beautiful description of our God. So what's that got to do with us tonight as we come to pray? What are we going to pray for? Are we going to pray for what I want? What suits me? Or are we going to pray for what is right? For what is consistent with our God. Because he is right and righteous, and because his ways are righteous, everything that he desires to answer in prayer tonight will be to accomplish his righteous plan. What is that? The salvation of souls. the building of his kingdom, the sanctifying of his people. They all work for the same purpose, which is a righteous aim, because he is the rock, because his work is perfect, because his ways are just, because he is a God of truth without injustice, and because just and right is he. We can pray tonight because we know the prayers that will be answered are prayers that are righteous prayers, consistent with God and with his character. May the Lord ever help us to understand that the judge of all the earth shall do right. Now we have a hymn tonight which so perfectly fits these words, but there is only one tune in our hymn book which fits the words in this meter. And it's a tune that we've not sung before. It's an old tune of Bach, very old German tune. So we're going to play it through a couple of times before we attempt to sing it. The hymn is 763, Whate'er My God Ordains Is Right, Holy His Will Abideth. Let's have the tune played through twice, and then we shall stand to sing it all the way.